Well, you will be delighted to know that I expect this to be our last week on relationships. Yay! Because we've covered all the ones that we started out talking about. We obviously need to finish up. Anyhow, we've covered believer to believer and believer to God and employer, employee, children, parents, husbands, and wives. Finish up husbands today. So, we're now relationship experts, and we know how we should behave in any given situation. So we will finish up husbands today, and then we'll have a little bit of open discussion time where we'll take suggestions for upcoming classes and material. So let's get started with a prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day, the opportunity to be together as a church in your worship and to be filled with your fullness. Lord, pray that we would continue to honor you in our studies as we go through this hour, and pray that your word would be open to us and our hearts would be open to receive. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, continuing on, we got into chapter 3, verse 7 last week. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And the question that we were bandying about was, what does it mean that the woman is the weaker vessel? And what was our answer? Okay. Talking about physical strength, but not talking about spiritual capability. My wife is second degree red belt. So, you got two stripes. Second degree red belt. She's almost a Chodombo. So, hey, not necessarily that women are physically weaker. It's not a reflection on value. It's not a reflection on spiritual merit. What is it that you are to do because the woman is the weaker vessel?
Herself with other people and how much she expends herself. Because she'll expend herself beyond what her capability is out of gratitude for her love for people. So I see it as a role of protection for her person. And I think generally speaking, most of the women that I have been around are far more tender-hearted than their husbands. And so their husbands have to be.
Would you all agree with that? Women tend to be more tender-hearted than men. But that's just cultural conditioning, right? And men don't, right? No, men, you're right. Men do not have a maternal instinct. Hey, culture is fascinating because we have this societal pressure that says men and women are equal. Therefore, you can't say anything about a woman as different from man because they're equal. You can't treat them anything but equal. Can't say that they're different. How many comedy routines have you heard about men not understanding women, women not understanding men, and everybody laughs hysterically because they all understand exactly what they're talking about? Men think this way, women think that way. Ha ha ha, that's hysterical. Yes, it's absolutely true. And yet, if you stand up in front of an audience of people and say men think differently from women, how dare you say that? Men and women are equal. You can't possibly suggest that women think differently from men. I know that most men that I know, including myself, are very good at compartmentalizing. And we have to be to survive, but it's our nature. Most women that I know are not. Everything that's going on matters at the same time. It has to be paid attention to. It has to be thought about. It has to be considered. It has to be. When I'm at work, I'm at work. And that's what I do. When I'm at home, I'm at home. When I'm on the golf course, I'm on the golf course. Seriously, I can shift my focus from one item to another item and put the other stuff on the back burner, and I will just absolutely not think about it until it's time to come forward again. I can do that. My wife can't. On the other hand, my wife doesn't forget about all the things that I forget about because they were on the back burner and they weren't forefront in my mind. And I survive by my cell phone, which pops up every 20 minutes and says, this is what you're supposed to be thinking about right now. Right? That's a trait. Fairly consistent difference between men and women. Yes. And quite frankly, I don't. And I'm not really sure that I'm paying any attention to child A or B because I'm reading a book. When I get to the point where I'm reading a book out loud to my children, and I get so interested in the plot of the book that I stop reading out loud, I see nods around, right? Right? You got it. Hop on pop, man. Stop. Do not hop on pop. I've done that. Many times, now it tends to be bigger books, but yeah, I'll be reading out loud and my focus, my compartment will close to the book. And now reading out loud doesn't matter anymore until my kid jabs me in the elbow and says, "What's it say, Daddy?" Right? Yes. Society would say, right, you can't distinguish one from the other, because to distinguish one from the other makes one lesser than the other.
Well, okay, so like yesterday, we took your car and went out.
You've just been dying to say that.
We took your car, and of course, you and I, you know, took that bet, and we'd love that, and we were at the dinner table last evening, and you made a comment, well, I guess testosterone was just pouring out like smoke from your ears, something to that effect. But, is that a bad thing? Just because, that's what we as men, we get off on, speed and a loud exhaust, where women... But is that so bad? Women enjoy different things. Just because we aren't on the same plane, one is not, just because we enjoy one thing, that doesn't make it better or worse as opposed to something else. So I'm just...
Yes.
It's not that there's inequality exists. It's just that they are different things. And men are wired up one way and women will wire up another way. So
that's a compliment.
Yes.
It's important not to centralize, not to say women are active men are. Why? Because there's a few students at Johnson School. One student is working on a male student who's working on a fashion design project, sort of a senior project. And he's learning about clothes and how they're assembled and he's going to sew and all things like that. And even though that's not traditionally a manly pursuit, right? It's an artistic interest that he has. And I think it's important for Christians not to say men are like this and women are like this, because in our culture, people really want to assign particular things to particular genders. And our culture is a gender-confused kind of culture. So it's good to be able to say to young people, if a guy is really, more of a quiet guy, doesn't like sports or doesn't like driving around in fast cars, we can still say, you can still be a biblical man, right? God doesn't require that to be a man, you have to rough and tumble sports and fast cars and stuff. Or to be a woman, you have to shopping or, home decor or whatever. Right? But to be able to say, God's standards for men and women are actually much broader than our culture standards. At the same time, we can say, hey, it's great that men get together and do donuts in the parking lot with IP outside. Right? And women like to go to the bathroom in a group. Right? And it's like both the other side. Right?
Likes or dislikes. It's how we're wired. A woman, generally speaking, is more sensitive to the things going on around her as a whole than a man is, generally speaking. And it can have a much more drastic effect on them because of that. It's easier to be overwhelmed because there's so much going on. This morning, we're getting ready for church. We got up a little bit later, and my wife sees everything that has to happen. And I've learned that my role is not to see what's going on, but to pick the one thing that is the most important to do in the order that she wants me to do it, so that I can get us all ready.
And preferably without her telling you.
Well, now, I haven't even given up on that. First thing that I had to do is I had to get the girls downstairs and get everyone breakfast. That was number one. Number two was getting dressed. Three. And then it went on and on while she was getting herself ready in the bathroom and then also get the baby. Now, if I had picked my own route, I'd said to empty the dishwasher. that would have been very overwhelming for her. And when you look at this, it says, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. To me, that is saying, truly, understand your wives. Understand what it is to help them. I mean, they're our helpers, yet we're the ones that are, I think, in many cases, especially in their families, we're the ones that are really trying to help them with coordination. I think it's the idea of not allowing them to be overwhelmed, but really helping them do what they do. And I still think that, generally speaking, I don't know a lot of men that will watch Hallmark Channel. Why? Because the emotional side of those stories is what they enjoy. Generally speaking, you don't see guys do that. And I wonder, I can't understand why my wife would read half the things that she'll read. You know, these news reports on the internet about 6 children dying in a fire. You know, it's to her that it, to me that's an emotional coil that while I feel terrible for that family, I don't want to labor over the whole, you know, issue that is going on. But she'll take the time to do that and labor and then pray for that family. I mean, imagine if you do that every day about everything you're doing. I can't imagine. So I have to actually tell my wife, look, why don't you not focus on that right now and go on to the next thing. That's what I found. My wife is a very strong individual. It's not like she doesn't have an opinion. She doesn't know what she wants to do. She's very good. That's what I see that role like with my husband, is making sure that I am guarding her and that I'm helping her.
And by the way, just to point out, in our relationship, I like shopping and my wife doesn't. So it's not a universal fine line divided between roles and functions. They're traits, dominant traits, that are actually different. So the question of weaker vessel, and yet they are heirs with you of the grace of life. So there's a difference between your roles. You need to understand what that difference is. And to Meg's point, you need to look at the woman, the wife, the husband, as God looks at them and where they belong in the relationship. That's what matters. It's not whether man has classified tailoring or fashion as a manly or a womanly thing, or race cars or horses as a manly or a womanly thing. It's what does God see your role to be in this relationship, and are you honoring that role? So the question of the weaker vessel, well, yeah, there's physical difference. No question about it. And in that way, in the sense that she bears the children and needs to be protected, and the man has that role and responsibility, no question about it. Okay? That is not a devaluing of the woman. The man is supposed to honor her for that. Yes?
Shopping with my wife. I love to see what she cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So we should hold up our wives and love them, not just because they may be the weaker the vessel. That's why God told us we need to love them and care for them.
No question about that. Absolutely the case. First Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And this means, of course, that the man works and the woman doesn't. I can't even get a rise out of them out of that one. Is it possible for a husband to fulfill his role as provider for the household if he is a stay-at-home parent and the wife is working? Okay. How?
There's different definitions of the word. So they provide financially, definitely, if you're working. And then if you're home, you know, there's definitely plenty to do at home. That's a job in and of itself.
It's not my friend.
Giving her the opportunity to. He's taking over the household work so that she has the opportunity.
Yeah, if the husband were to sit around and watch football all day and not take care of the household, he would be failing in his responsibility. Now, I have to be very careful with this. I feel very strongly for me that my role is to go out outside the home and work, to provide. But I think if you look at it from a scriptural perspective, what is the most important thing for a husband to provide for his household? Spiritual guidance, leadership. Right? We look at this verse and immediately think, paycheck. But who is it that we're to be serving, and who is to be our God? God, not the paycheck, not money. If there's something that you can provide as the husband in the household, it should be, above all, spiritual leadership for your household. You must provide that. That's the role at which you can't fail. Yes. So, can a husband fail to provide that and still be fulfilling his role? No. Now, what's the counter argument? Is this verse talking about financial provision or spiritual provision?
First, learn first to put their religion into practice by is about financial.
Mm-hmm. The context of the verse tells us this is specifically talking about financial provision. So now that we've covered the concept of spiritual provision, how does financial provision fit in with this? How does a husband who is not earning the wages in the household physically provide for his family? If I had asked that question 60 years ago in this same building, what would the response have been? Well, first of all, there wouldn't have been a response because this building didn't exist 60 years ago. The other one over there did, yeah, but this particular one was built less than that. Would the response have been different? Right? 60 years ago, 70 years ago, the answer would have been the man works, the woman doesn't work. That's the way it works. You got kids, the woman stays home. We talked about teachers who had to quit their jobs because they got married, because a woman who was married wasn't allowed to continue to teach. Now, is that because we have come to a new understanding of Scripture? Are we enlightened? I'm getting some hands now. Okay. Yes, you are first.
Jobs that have been done, and that work gone on that. I mean, World War
Yeah, I probably should have said 80 years ago to be, because that really was when the major transition happened. But I think that you probably 80 years ago would have found people that would say specifically that. Yeah, that it would be wrong, not just unusual, but wrong for a woman to provide the income for the family and the husband to stay home. Yes. You have to be careful how far you carry the Naomi and Ruth analogy, because the reason that Ruth needed to be married was because she wasn't allowed to own land and they couldn't provide for themselves as single women in Israel. She was able to, yes, follow behind the harvesters and glean, which was a privilege of widows and orphans to be able to provide for themselves. But she wasn't allowed to be a provider from the sense of land ownership, the traditional provider method, because that wasn't allowed in Israel. Women were not allowed to own property and manage property. This passage is about caring for your family, right? And about your responsibility to care for members of your family and a husband's responsibility to provide for the members of his household. It's not specific to the role of the husband as the breadwinner, because that's not the intent. Yes.
I don't mean to get you off the track, but the Industrial Revolution has made a big difference, because the woman was always a worker in the rural community. I mean, she did all kinds of things, and so did he, and they worked as a team. When the Industrial Revolution came along, he left home that's when things began to change. And sociologists have watched and they've written books about the feminization of the American culture. That's the title of a book by Ann Douglas. And it's an interesting study how that happened, because World War II, remember Rosie the Riveter? Okay, she was a symbol of that. She had now moved out of the home. But prior to that, she was still a worker. And I went to school, in a grade school, where my teacher was a farmer's wife. So there have been workers, but I think this idea of the workplace out there has made such a big impact. And some people say we have never recovered from it.
It's interesting because there's a internal cultural war in the women's movement, right? Is it better, right? Because you have to have a comparison. Somebody has to be better. Better to be a stay-at-home mom or working mom? Better. Our society has drastically changed in the last 70 years. Drastically changed in the last 70 years. The concept of a woman seeking permanent regular employment outside of the home didn't exist 80 years ago. Yes. Well, if there is a right and wrong, if there is a right and wrong, then it's okay to tell people they're wrong. Right? Yes. I tend to think of things like that, regulatory things, as being something that an employer accepts as part of his role as an employer. The same way as workers' comp insurance, Social Security benefits, all of those sorts of things. And they actually, at least in companies like mine, we calculate a cost of that. And that's just added to the bottom line.
Not pick a man
That's correct. You're not allowed to discriminate. And at the same time, right, if my employer could choose employees on the basis of the benefits that they would have to pay for, I wouldn't have a job. Quite frankly, because my children consume a tremendous amount of medical insurance. And if my employer could say, you know what, it's too expensive to keep you cared for because you have children that need a lot of medical care, and they were allowed to do that, I would be unemployed and unemployable. There are companies that choose to do so, yes. Okay, we need to progress because I really do want to finish this subject. I think it is a good thing for a woman to stay home and take care of the household and the children. I think it's a good thing. I don't personally think it's a bad thing for a woman to work outside of the home because there are benefits to that from their perspective. I'm not sure if I'm ready to say better or worse, but I think I would have a hard time with my wife choosing to do that now that we have kids, because I think it's very important for her to be there for them. I will also say that I think my wife works a lot harder than I do. A lot harder than I do. And I think that her employment in the home is of much greater value than my employment outside the home. Society has changed around us. We as a church have not taken a position on this issue, but it is a challenging issue. Because if we think about the fact that we are covenanters, and we believe that God has founded the church and structured the church around the family unit as an organization, we should be focused on the priority of that family unit and what it means to care for that family unit. Because if it is God's plan for the continuance of the church, we ought to be doing everything that we can to preserve it and to sustain it and to make sure that our families are trained properly, brought up in the church, brought up according to the will of God, taught what is right. Everything that we can. Now, if I had my personal preference, I would be a stay-at-home dad. My wife would be a stay-at-home mom with me. That'd be fantastic. That would be ideal. And if I could provide for my family and do that, I'd love it. I can't make anything grow. Yes. Yeah, and make sure that you understand, if what you have been able to do and what you have chosen to do is work outside the home, I don't think that there's anything biblically wrong with that. So therefore, there isn't anything wrong with that. However, it increases the burden on you because it doesn't relieve you of your responsibility to care for your children. It doesn't relieve you of your responsibility to care for your household. It doesn't relieve you of your responsibility to ensure that you are bringing your children up in a biblical manner. it is harder for fathers who work outside the home to bring up their children in the way of the Lord than it is for fathers who work in the home. Because their children can't see them at work. And their children can't see how they respond to everyday situations because they're not there. It is harder for mothers who work outside the home to have that same opportunity with their children. So, in an ideal world, we'd be stay-at-home parents. Maybe. Yes. Absolutely. No question about that. And the challenge comes in where you have to make that call. Right? I worked really, really hard this month. Worked lots of overtime. Never showed up. And now here's your pony. Okay? Thanks for the pony, but I haven't seen you for a month. Which would you rather have? And that acquisition of things, that getting things, that desire to live above and beyond your means through the sweat of your own brow, destroys your relationship. That's where you have real problems. That's where your service becomes service to mammon. You become a slave to the things that your work can get for you. And you've placed a higher priority over them, on them, above caring for your family, being with your family. All right. In desperation, I'm going to flip to two more slides. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 11. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? This, of course, is the famous "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up" commercial. Two are better than one. A marriage is better if two are working together. If they're alone, even in the marriage, it's not a good thing. And Malachi 2, 14 through 16. You ask why? It's because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard. And do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. A warning to husbands. Your job, your godly requirement is to love your wife. Your godly requirement is to be faithful to her. Divorce is wrong and should not happen between believers. And you should not be unfaithful. Christian husbands, instruct their children in the way of the Lord. Care for and provide for their children. Encourage and build their children up. Discipline their children. Have responsibility for the spiritual leadership of their household. Love and honor their wives sacrificially. Are faithful, provide for their families, and are witnesses for Christ. And I thought this was going to be a short class. Well, we've completed relationships. I'm sure we have more things that we can discuss in these areas. Does anyone have any suggestions for where to move to next? I'll let you ponder that for a while. Drop me an email or a phone call, or if something I've said today has just burned you up so that you have to talk to me about it, let's talk. Let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for your example. Thank you for showing us what we as fathers should be. Thank you, Lord, for Christ and his sacrificial love of the church, for the way in which he cares for us, for the way in which he provides for us, for the way in which he guides us. Lord, help us as husbands to strive to achieve that example. Help us, Lord, as a church to strive to be an honorable bride for you. And Father, pray that you would be with us in all of the relationships of our lives, that we would keep you focused and central in those relationships, so that the things that we do and the way that we live would be God-honoring and would contribute to your glory. And we ask these things that you would be glorified through the name of your Son, Christ. Amen.